The bloodlines of all important modern American music can be traced to Congo Square. Wynton Marsalis, artistic director of the Jazz at Lincoln Center. Today I am talking with Freddie Williams Evans, the author and scholar of Congo Square, African Roots in New Orleans. And I'm glad and very happy to be sitting with Freddie Williams Evans today. Freddie, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking time to talk with me. For those who don't know about Congo Square, when we think of New Orleans, people often think about its tourist attractions, the French Quarter, the food, Mardi Gras, beads. But many people may not know about Congo Square. So can you tell us a little bit about Congo Square and why it's so important?
Yes. Well, Congo Square is a gathering place. It's a public square. It's located on Rampart Street within the Louis Armstrong Park complex. For many people who are aware of the French Quarter and Jackson Square, Congo Square is six blocks behind Jackson Square, so it's directly behind it. And during the very early years of the city, it was called Back of Town. Actually, when the city was first developed, Congo Square, the area that is Congo Square, remained outside of the city limits. And so this was a place for less important or unofficial activities and underclass people, like African Americans. This was a location that many of them gathered on Sunday afternoons. And it was not the only location that they were able to come together on Sunday afternoons until 1817, when the city council passed an ordinance that restricted all of the Sunday gatherings of enslaved people to that one location. And so people gathered there off and on until the mid-1850s. And during those Sunday meetings, they played musical instruments that were modeled after the ones that they knew in Africa. They sang songs that were African-based. They danced African-based dances and marketed in traditional marketing styles from West Africa. They also practiced their religions in Congo Square, not as you would probably in a formal setting, but wherever the African is, there is his religion. So they were definitely carrying on some religious practices. And some of the travelers' accounts attest to that. Even when the American period became effective and many of the African Americans, enslaved African Americans, were brought into New Orleans from the upper South, so to speak, while there were some European-based songs and dances, even musical instruments performed there, there was still African-based music, musical instruments, dances going on in Congo Square. So throughout the time of the gatherings, there was the African influence very, very prevalent in Congo Square.
Thank you. And you played an instrument to start us off with at the beginning of the interview. Can you just tell us a little bit about that instrument?
Yes, this is a melodica instrument that comes from West Africa and West Central Africa also. Actually, it's found throughout the West and West Central Africa, but under different names and different styles. It's played with the thumbs, and in some places it's called the kalimba, other places it's called the sanza, and other places it's called the imbira. So this was one of the many instruments that were modeled after African instruments that were played in Congo Square.
You spent a lot of time writing this book, traveling and researching. Why did you feel it was so important to write about this place in New Orleans?
Well, for several reasons, I felt that it was important. One is it was important to know the contributions that enslaved Africans made to New Orleans history and culture, actually to American and to world history and culture, other than their labor. Most people say, or most people think, and they are taught that the enslaved Africans built the country, surely, but it was the physical labor that is often referred to. But we don't think about the culture that enslaved Africans brought and how it really formed the culture of America. When we think about New Orleans and we see we hear the music, we say jazz. I was born in New Orleans, and we don't think about the influence that Congo Square had on developing jazz. We think about the food that we eat, and we call it Creole cuisine, but we don't think about the contributions that Africans made to this food. We don't think of the fact that rice was brought to the colony by the Africans who came from Senegambia area during the first two, on the first two slave ships that were brought here. They not only brought rice seeds, but also people who knew how to cultivate rice. And rice then became a staple for what we call Creole cuisine. But it was a staple. Not only was it a food source that helped the people who were here survive, but it also helped them thrive because it became an export item. So those type of things were important to me to find and to talk about in the book. It was also important for me to provide a history for the people, because before my book came out, the information on Congo Square that had been published was in historical journals, and it was for the academics and for the university type, you know, settings. But there was not a book or history available to the people. And so not only is what I have done, and with a lot of help, I have to acknowledge my mentor, who is Kalamu Yasalam, but what we did was we created a book that was for, about, and from, so to speak, the people.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people.
And so how has Congo Square shaped New Orleans culture and identity? And keeping in mind your comment just about the people, I'm interested in how those things intersect.
Well, there is a direct link between the what happened in Congo Square and what happens in our streets today. When we look at, for instance, just the music itself, we know that one of the most popular songs that was performed in Congo Square actually came during the American period, the one that we have the most information about, came from Haiti. And in Congo Square, it was performed with certain dances and certain rhythmic patterns. We know the score. We know we have a copy of the score itself, the translation of the music. And from that, we see the rhythmic pattern. We see the habanero rhythmic pattern. We know that one rhythm was not only played. There were several rhythms. It was multi-rhythmic performance. And so one of the variations of the habanero rhythmic pattern has become the foundation of New Orleans music. We call it the bambula beat, the second beat, the street beat, the parade beat. It's so popular here that it is the foundation for a lot of Mardi Gras Indian music. Jazz, early jazz music had to have it, is what one of the early jazz musicians said. And so we see the direct correlation between what happened in Congo Square and the influence on contemporary culture just by looking at the travelers' accounts, by looking at other eyewitness accounts about what happened in Congo Square, and then looking at what's going on right now in second line music and dance, in Mardi Gras Indian music, and the musical instruments that are played.
Thank you. New Orleans is changing. We were talking about this offline today. The demographics are changing post-Katrina. The neighborhoods are changing. And I'm interested in how you feel culture bearers, local cultural bearers, artists, musicians, poets, dancers, keep that sacred ritual and culture alive. Every Sunday in Congo Square at 3 p.m., people gather just as the enslaved Africans did long ago. And so as New Orleans is changing, how do we maintain and stay connected to the roots of New Orleans culture and African culture? And I believe Congo Square is one of those places that we can stay connected, but
I understand what you're saying. And I think it's essential that the culture bearers are there perpetuating and carrying on the legacy, because many of the people who relocate here, you talked about the, I don't know what you call them, the people who are moving and relocating, come here because of the culture. And it's easy to misinterpret, misunderstand it. And so when you have it coming from people who are actually perpetuating and who know it, when they get a chance to experience it firsthand, they get a chance to understand it a little bit better and to appreciate it more. So I think what the Congo Square Preservation Society does in Congo Square Sunday afternoons is very, very important to introduce people to authentic drumming and dancing and the freedom that people once experienced when they attended Congo Square. And many of those who attended Congo Square were African Americans, enslaved African Americans, because during the time that it became the only gathering place in 1817, we were almost two decades into the American period. And that's during the time that the domestic slave trade was very, very prevalent, was at its height. So by then, people were coming from upper southern states, Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina, and they were the ones who were coming to Congo Square, or people who had been born here in New Orleans were coming to Congo Square. So getting back to what is going on now, I think it's important that we are carrying on that legacy, because Congo Square is known around the world as the birthplace, actually, of jazz. This is what UNESCO has, you know, came here to celebrate in 2012 when they named the International Jazz Day. They came to unfold that, to unveil it, rather, in Congo Square.
Thank you, Freddie Evans, for joining us today. It has been my pleasure to talk with Freddie Williams Evans. She is the author of Congo Square, African Roots in New Orleans. You can pick up this book through the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press. You can certainly Google her and find lots of information about Congo Square and Freddie Evans' work, both as a scholar and as a children's author. If you're ever in New Orleans and you're looking to find an authentic experience, cultural experience, and you happen to be in New Orleans on a Sunday afternoon around 3 o'clock, head over to Congo Square and experience true cultural freedom the way that many of our ancestors were able to experience it long ago. Thank you, Freddie.
Thank you.